let me call the August 1st meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board to order. You call the roll, please.
Chairperson Bob Henderson.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bart Phillips.
Here.
Board Member Kokwan Ma.
Here.
Board Member Kevin McCann.
Here. If I could ask you to stand for a moment, please. A moment of silence. Please reply, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any agenda changes?
No.
Okay. The new words and presentation not used, information is not used. This is the first opportunity to receive public input. Any people that are here, if you're here about an item under public hearings, you may want to wait until then before you speak. But if you're open, you're certainly welcome to speak it on any subject that you wish. Hearing and seeing none, I'll close that to public input. Consent agenda. If I could have a motion to approve the minutes, please.
I make a motion to approve minutes. Second.
Any discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Chairperson Henderson?
Aye.
Board Member Ma?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Phillips?
Aye.
Board Member McCann?
Again, I was not present. I will abstain. Can we move on to the public hearings agenda, item 400?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, Board Member McCann, to the Planning and Zoning Board. We have two public hearings tonight. The first item 400, is for the Reach Beyond Academy. And this is a conditional use proposal for a school in the existing Temple Israel Synagogue on Moss Road. So, just direct to an aerial over here. This is State Road 434, Moss Road intersection, the existing Temple Israel facility. Is just to the south. The school that's proposed is has a maximum capacity of 40 students. Any school in a residential zoning district is a conditional use. This is zoned R3, which is a multifamily residential zoning designation. So any school in any residential zoning by code is a conditional use. Currently with a church, having a school as a component is a very common thing. In this case, it's really a third party school that's going to be coming in and operating it. And there's some folks here from the school who can speak about the facility itself. In the code, there's really two different areas that we review for this conditional use. There's the standard conditional use criteria, that's listed in your staff report here. That's in section 20-33, as well as there's a special section in section 20-421 that has 14 distinct criteria for school siting. Most of that is really geared towards a much larger scale school that's built on its own parcel, like the charter school, for example. I think the key question that we looked at in all that criteria is compatibility. Is it a good fit? Are there any conditions with the surrounding neighborhood, potential conflicts or issues? And we didn't find any. We found it to be compatible. Really two key items with that. One is just the very small scale of the school. It is K-12. It serves developmentally challenged children. The initial enrollment is 28. It has a staff of 6. There's a target student-teacher ratio of 8-1. So we felt like just given the small scale, it was a negligible impact on public facilities in the area. And secondly, from a planning standpoint, is that, the nature of this school is a need in our community. Parents who have developmentally challenged children don't have a lot of options, either in the public schools or private schools. And we felt like this facility, from what we know about it, would at least provide parents with an option that may not exist today. So a lot of the information in the staff report is fairly repetitive about the scale of the facility. I'll pause there and ask if there's folks from the Reach Beyond Academy if they'd like to speak and tell us a little bit more about the school, or if the board would like to go ahead and ask any questions.
So we are a, we're technically, sorry. Oh, name and address. Carla Brandt. I live at 418 Flatwood Drive, Winter Springs, Florida, 32708. Okay. So I'm the principal of the school. We work with students that have specific learning disabilities or mild intellectual disabilities. So our students primarily have academic deficits. We don't work with students who have any type of emotional or behavioral disorders. I have been at this for 23 years working with this population of students, and 17 of those years I've done it in the private sector with the students that are currently enrolled in our program. We actually had another school close, and we had a parent come forward to start our school called Reach Beyond Academy, so we desperately need a place for our students. It's emotional because we've been in existence for 13 years here in Winter Springs, and the current owner, with very little notice, decided to close the school with a month's notice. And it left very few options for our families to either find another private school or to stay with us. And so we're in a temporary setting with the Village Academy over in Oviedo, but we would love to have our own space until our owner purchases a new building. Oh, do you have any questions?
You just said until you purchase a new space. So
you're correct.
This is somewhat of a temporary situation?
It is a temporary situation, but we don't know the timeline for that. I mean, our plan would be that to be there for this school year and evaluate it. So when we approached Temple Israel, our plan was to lease it for 1 year. If we needed to stay longer, then we would lease for additional years after that. But yes, eventually we'd like to have a more permanent space, but we don't know the timeline for that, and our owner being in a position to purchase the building and finding the right place for our students. Because the previous school was here in Winter Springs, we were trying to make it convenient for our families, and finding Temple Israel was a solution to that, because our families were, they come from five different counties. Some of them have very lengthy drives, but we also felt just the location of it would be, you know, easy for our families to access it, because it was so close to the previous location.
Where was that?
That was on 894 Gary Hillary Drive, okay, here in Winter Springs, next to the 7-Eleven in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I know where you were.
Mm-hmm.
That was there for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, 14 years. Yeah. And I was with the school for 13. So.
I don't have any further questions. Anybody?
I do. Does the school provide bus service for the kids, or are all of the kids dropped off by?
They are dropped off by their parents. We don't have a bus service. We previously did with the previous owner, but we don't have access to a bus at this time.
Okay. So it kind of just leads to my next question. And as someone who has done several studies on school circulation, this is a different animal because it's only 40 students.
Sure.
But one of the biggest concerns for a school that's in a neighborhood is dismissal in the afternoon, where there's oftentimes the parents that are queued up and Has any kind of analysis or evaluation been done to address whether or not there's enough space for all of those parents to be able to queue or park waiting for dismissal?
We have from the staff level. We don't know exactly how they're queuing, but they have the ability to wrap a queue all around. There's a perimeter road. There's a drop-off covered area here, but there's a perimeter road goes all the way around. So if they plan it well, I believe they could accommodate the 40-student maximum.
And we really planned with, after talking to Temple Israel, that there's two driveways going into the temple. We would not go into the first driveway. We'd actually direct our parents to go into the second driveway and wrap completely around the building. And that way, when their children were getting out of the car, our children, our family's children are getting out of the car, they're actually going directly to the entrance to the school part of it. So we felt from a safety issue too, but at least it allows for more cars to wrap around the building and then just queue around.
That's a good size property and a good size lot.
It is.
A good size lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask you to repeat the number of students you believe will open?
Well, when we started this project with Temple Israel Hoping, we did have 28 families that were interested. We no longer have 28 families that are interested. We currently have 14 students enrolled with the potential of having three additional families join us that we're still working with them, and with the potential to grow throughout the school year, because many of our families access the McKay Scholarship or the Gardner Scholarship. There are deadlines with the McKay Scholarship, and for that purpose, we might not have some students join us until the second or third quarter. But some of these families had to find, they needed to know that there was going to be a school. So they have opted to go to public school as well as other private schools.
And you said that there's no behavioral issues. Are there children with physical challenges?
We have one student who went through a surgery at the end of the school year to lengthen his leg. He does have a physical challenge at this time, but prior to that, he was able to walk without any assistance of a wheelchair or walker. He will start school using a walker because he's still recuperating from that surgery.
So that was about, if it's okay to, without, if you're crossing the line in the private,
I understand.
And their families, but it sounds to me that it's dyslexia.
Correct. Our students have diagnoses of dyslexia, dyscalculia, dysgraphia, speech language disorders. We do have some students that are diagnosed with ADHD, inattentive type and combined type. But when I am talking about emotional or behavioral disorders, we only have a few kids that are on the autism spectrum, but they're high functioning and they don't present with those types of behaviors that some kids with those diagnoses can. So we're very selective with the students that are accepted into our program just because of our own, expertise. We don't have behavior specialists as part of our program.
Thank you for the work you do.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, just to wrap up, staff recommends that the board forward a recommendation of approval to the City Commission for with noted that with a maximum capacity of 40 students as is represented on the application as a basis for our analysis as well.
Anybody else on the board? If not, I'll open it for public input. If there's anyone in the public who would like to say anything, now's the time. Hearing and seeing none, I'll close public input. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve. Consent agenda number 400, or public hearing agenda 400.
Second. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Board Member McCann?
Aye.
Board Member Ma?
Aye.
Chairperson Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Phillips?
Aye.
400 is approved. We move on to 401. You haven't heard it, but the rest of us have heard this before, part of it anyway, the original application. And this is just, I guess there's been some changes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, item 401 is a series of special exceptions at the Bloomberg property. This item came before the board at the last meeting with a slightly different configuration. It then went to the City Commission, and there was some public input as well as City Commission input, and the development group took that input and came back with a revised plan, which is what you see here. The project, the location and scale of the project is the same. It's 108 unit senior age-restricted 55-plus condominium project. It's still in four buildings. Those buildings are still four stories. Some of the major comments from the City Commission, there was concern about the location of the buildings that were fronting Bloomberg Boulevard and Tuscarora Road, that the feedback was to move those buildings back. There was concern about having only access onto Bloomberg Boulevard, as well as the potential impact to city events. We have the art festival, other events on Bloomberg Boulevard and Tuscarora, if that was the only point of access that could limit our ability to have those city events there. Those are the main things. There's concern about the ability to, that this would not be turned into rental units. And that is something that we intend to address by developer's agreement. But as far as the layout itself, let me just kind of briefly go over the changes. There's still four buildings. Basically, these two buildings previously fronted Bloomberg Boulevard. There's another building right at the corner here. I have the old plan handy if we need to call it up. As far as the entrance goes, the primary entrance would be here on Bloomberg, but the intent would be to have a full ingress, egress, connection here with the school road, and that takes some discussions with the school board to make that happen, but that's the intent, at least with this plan, is to have two primary full access points, one here and one here. What's shown on this drawing is an access point to Tuscarora Road. Is that our staff is not recommending that. We think just from proximity to this curve, it's almost like a chicane, this little arched area by Bloomberg Boulevard, as well as the school entrance drive here. We feel like that would just be too close to be unsafe for the turning movements there. So ideally, there'd be one road with access points on school road and access to Bloomberg Boulevard. There may be an option to punch this access point out to the school road as well to create a little bit more circulation. We recommend that if that's available. So with that, what that created by moving those buildings around, it triggered a number of other special exceptions that are a little more design-related dimensionally with items in the town center code. So, and what they are seeking is to have all of those special exceptions approved by the City Commission. So I'm going to briefly go over what those other ones are. The first one, of course, is the use. The multifamily use is permitted by special exception only in the Town Center Zoning District in the T4 transect. So that's number one. The second item is on the front setback, and the code requires thoroughfares, which are Tuscarora and Bloomberg, to be fronted by buildings, and similar to the building, this existing apartment building across the street. Well, when the buildings are moved back, they are no longer fronting thoroughfares. And then the front setback, which would be a maximum of 18 feet, is much more than that here. So that's one special exception, is the buildings are just pushed much further back off the thoroughfares. Second is garage doors are on the front here of these buildings, and by code, garage doors are required to be at least 20 feet behind the primary front facades of buildings. So the garages here, and we can pull up a rendering if needed, they have garage access on what is now the front and the sides of the buildings. The code requires a minimum, what's called frontage build-out of 60%. That essentially means that frontage would be along the two primary roads of having buildings at or within the front setback along that area up to at least 60%. And they obviously don't meet that with this revised plan. And then finally, minor item, just an accessory building setback. This is a garage parking area. Accessory buildings are required to be behind the front building line plus 20 feet. At least this one and this one, and if this is considered a front, this one would not meet that requirement. So triggered some of these other dimensional requirements by moving the building back. They are responding to what was the City Commission's input at the last meeting. So I don't think these are ones special exceptions that they necessarily came after to begin with. However, they did listen to that input and respond. The one item that was discussed but has not been changed is the height of the building. They remain at four stories. There was discussion about possibly going down to a three-story or two-story product, and they've held it at four stories. That is a discussion of the special exceptions. We'd like to take any questions about those now. There are representatives of the applicant here as well.
Brian.
Go ahead.
Did you want to talk to him first?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the questions I had, what are your, chances, that's the wrong word, what is your probability of that entrance onto the school, because that's important. Do you think the school board would have any objections to it?
Okay. Mark Jones here on behalf of the property owner and the developer. The chances of...
Let me make sure.
Yes, sir.
The chances are very good, actually. Ms. Ballmer, when she deeded that road to the school board, she reserved a curb cut. So we do know that we're going to be able to have access there. So that's the high probability.
Okay, because that's important.
Will it be only a right only, or will it be able to go both ways?
It's intended to go both ways.
Right. That will relieve a lot of traffic.
Well, I'm not sure if Brian mentioned this, going in the direction of the private view.
The streets are private. So our recommendation, the staff recommendation, is to gate the community. A major concern will be cut-through traffic with the proximity of a senior living facility next to a high school. High school kids are going to come out of the parking lot, and you see cut-through and speeding and throwing the trash and some of the things high school kids do, not being real compatible here. So we recommend gating the entrances.
The diagram shows that school road is emergency access entrance. I believe you had mentioned that it's going to be one of the primary entrances.
That's correct. This is initially it was emergency. The goal would be to have that as a primary, both in and out, available at all times.
This is not the most recent rendering. We will have a corrected rendering for the commission meeting.
The real change is, yes, that's not going to be emergency access. That will be a secondary.
And I would add that this is a conceptual artist rendering. The intersection here needs to be engineered to meet standards.
Okay. Yeah. But not that. We're smart enough to get the access.
Things like queuing, if it's a gate.
I thought I got two. I'm turning that on that one.
Oh. We need, if it's gated, we need to look at queuing and things like that, fire truck access, and that would be at final engineering, which they're not at this stage.
I understand it's gated. There is a road shown between buildings 3 and 4. Is the intent to provide access to the adjacent parcel, or does that just end at that development?
From a staff standpoint, they would only be able to connect if it was part of this community and participating in the restricted access.
I don't think Mrs. Bloomberg is going to let that property go for a long time.
That road also provides access to this. parking spaces and the garage may or may not be on this building. There may be future development, I think it's community for that as well.
What is the date? Do we have a date? When would the school board give the final okay? Yeah, that is a big deal. If we lose, when we lose all of our state functions, we lose our children back, we lose all of the other events that we do, that's a big part of the decision. When is that?
These plans would come back to this board and the city commission at final engineering, and that would be a requirement to have that secondary access in place, at least a commitment for it as part of that final engineering package.
Great. So if it then comes back as a no, and the school board says no, you can enjoy then go down.
Yes.
No matter what development gets put there, there's going to be a problem there for the event anyway. So, I mean, this is actually probably the widest use possible on that property.
Yeah, and this was, again, in response to the feedback that we got from residents and commissioners. What we have here, by placing the pond on Blomberg Boulevard, it certainly helps the stuff without having to have things that go around this park setting. So,
I would tell you that I think that a vast improvement and that the work and the flexibility is a great issue with the joint resolution. So, we're working together.
Can I ask the lake, how many stories is that?
Three.
And the hall?
Three.
And the minimum is 4.
Yeah, doing the existing buildings. Just to give you some context, if questions come up, and just do a very brief tour of the surrounding building. This is the building across the street, 4 stories. It is apartments. This is right across the street on the south side of Blomberg Boulevard.
Good. And that, if I'm not mistaken, that was brought before this board and the city commission, the condominium.
It's originally condominium. Everything in the first phase of the town center was condos to begin with, and it came back and eventually changes to the apartment. These are the buildings along Tuscola Road, further south. These are first floor retail, and then over that is apartments. This is a 3-story section here, and right on the corner is a 4-story section. The next slide, please. This is a tree swallow. These are really first floor retail. They're 2-story buildings. They have kind of a faux 3rd story at this location. Next slide. That's the rise, which you've all seen. That's a 4-story apartment complex with a parking garage. And this is under construction now. This is the Catalyst Apartments. It's a 3-story product. One more, Ed, please. Just this is the office building across the street. That's a 3-story product. So this is just a sampling of the larger buildings in the town center district. What we have.
So we have a 4-story.
We do.
Yeah. And what about deed restriction? I do sometimes think they'll say condos and then they become apartments. They say over 55, they become apartments. Over 55, apartments. What kind of protection or deed restriction do we have enough so that we are not simply going to have more apartments? Okay. What the that does seem to be the track record is people asking for over 55, and then when it's convenient enough to get through multifamily homes.
Understood. Chad Miner, Beezer Homes, 151 South Hall Lane, Suite 200, Maitland, Florida, 32751. Great question. Brian had given us a heads up on that. Obviously, it's something that we need to take back to our leadership team, but these are going to be fee simple for sale units, and they're going to be each HOA, condominium HOA set up. We have a similar product in Lake Nona that we've actually provided Brian an example of the HOA deed restrictions, et cetera. That's something we would model this one after as well. So I believe we can put in place some assurances that it will remain
Do you have anything in writing you can get to us now?
I do not have anything in writing I can get to you now.
Turn into just another button.
I do not.
Any further, anything else from the board?
And is there anything that the city can do to ensure that this does not become, that this is not just yet another byway into another apartment building?
I mean, if this went to the commission, our recommendation is to limit the special exception to age-restricted condominium product. So that would have to be undone by the city commission in order to change it. So they wouldn't have a right to just change it without coming back through the approval process.
Would they have to come back to this board as well as to the city commission?
Correct.
So even though we have nothing, okay. So even though they put nothing in writing saying 55,
it will be in a developer's agreement. So your question is, what? Yeah. How could that be changed? That developer's agreement would have to be brought back to the city commission. The special exceptions would need to be reapproved to go through the same process as if it were a new project to go to that to a different product.
And that can come at any point. That could come 10 years from now.
That could come
next year before the construction starts.
Any residential building could come forward with existing or proposed with that type of special exception. If the special exception was available to it. So, but it would have to go back through that approval process, which would include a developer's agreement, which is a contract between the city and the developer. If that's the way the city commission, should they approve it.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Is anybody in the audience who would like to comment on it one way or the other? How is the time? Public hearing. Hearing and seeing none, I'll close public hearing. Do I hear a motion?
I'll put forth the approval of 401 with the Community Development Department Planning Division, and it's going to be with all the special exceptions that are going to be required.
Second that. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Vice Chairperson Phillips.
Aye.
Board Member McCann.
No.
Board Member Ma.
Aye.
Chairperson Henderson.
Aye. 401 passes. There is no regular agenda, and anybody have a report? Then one last chance for public input on any subject anyone would like to discuss. Hearing and seeing none, close public hearing. As far as I know, do you have something you
want
to bring up?
Just Mr. Chair, next meeting is scheduled for September 5th. We do have several items already that appear to be lined up. We'll be ready for that meeting. So if you could please let the clerk's office know if anyone cannot make a September 5 meeting.
Then I would say that we are adjourned.